Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello, this is Joe Milligan, and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm joined, as always, by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, yet another big week in the area. You know, a lot of people playing their last games in football. Jasper's tennis team's heading up to try to win a state championship, and just so much to talk about yet once again.
Yeah, Joe, and it's nice to be back in the studio this week for the show. But it is a time of the year where we've got a lot of tournament-type playoff atmosphere going on. We've got it in Major League Baseball. How about the Red Sox and the Tigers? Another classic game last night, and Dodgers and Cardinals will be coming up in St. Louis today. We've got college football coming to the period in time where the conferences start to play out, and we find out who has a chance to win a BCS national championship, the NFL. We've got Peyton coming back to Indianapolis with the Broncos versus the Colts. We've got, as you said, volleyball in high school in Indiana, football high school in Indiana, tennis high school in Indiana. Joe, we can go on and on and on, and you know what? We will, because it's showtime on Friday for the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, I got a quick question to ask you, because I asked my resident in sports encyclopedia, Reese Milligan, this question. He did not know the answer. I wanted to ask you, what's up with the Red Sox beards? Is there something behind this, or why? Have you noticed they all have beards?
No, I don't know what it is. One of our listeners will let us know. I did notice the beards. I don't know if they're, you know how a good friend of ours, little old Pup Holes, used to put the rally cap on. I guess these are the rally beards for the Red Sox. I'm not sure, but when I'm watching them, Joe, I get this warm, fuzzy feeling. I'm not a Red Sox fan. I get this warm, fuzzy feeling because I feel like I'm watching Duck Dynasty out there playing baseball. So it is kind of unique, and you got to give them credit. How about some of those beards? I mean, those are pretty awesome. You're talking to a guy who can't grow a mustache. These guys have phenomenal beards. They look great. They look like the baseball players back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Pretty classic look, Joe.
I can't give the Red Sox credit for anything. As I've stated many times, one of my most hated teams in all of sports. So, I think a little bit less of Cy Robertson right now, because you're right. It kind of reminds me of Duck Dynasty a little bit, so.
Hey, what are you talking about? Hey, Joe, classic matchup. I know we have a lot of Cardinal fan listeners, and again, Joe, I'm not a big Red Sox fan. I'm sorry, guys, but I'm not a big Cardinal fan, although half of my family is, my brothers. I'm from a family of nine kids, and half of my family are Cardinal fans, but this Waka, he has pitched very, very well for the Cardinals as a rookie, a young player in really intense atmosphere, playoff atmosphere, and pitched great off-speed pitches. The Dodgers, you know, we have Southern Indiana loves him, New York loves him, not Coach K, but Don Mattingly, although they do love Coach K too. Don Mattingly and his Dodgers, they go with Kershaw. He's been lights out this year. This makes for a great matchup, pitcher's duel in St. Louis, game six, Cardinals lead the series 3-2. It should really be interesting. I want to see which team breaks first, which pitcher breaks first.
Well, you know, the Cardinal freaks in this house are, you know, the other night, their excuse for getting beat by the Dodgers was they wanted to win it at home anyways.
Is that not the classic excuse in America when it comes to teams losing on the road? Well, we didn't want to win on the road. We wanted to win at home. Let me tell you something, and you know this as a former player, and I'm telling you this as a player or a coach. You don't care where you win it. You win it. You get it done. You get it over with. I think that's why Dusty Baker is not with the Cincinnati Reds anymore, because last year against the Giants, he didn't put his best team out on the field and tried to win. I think it was game – I can't remember. It was before the final game of the series to try to win either game six or game four. I can't remember five what it was, but he didn't put his best team.
Coach?
So, that was tough in itself. I want to remind our listeners, we've got a big show going today. We've got, obviously, Joe and myself, but we've got Jasper Volleyball Coach Liz Milligan's going to join us. We also are going to have, hopefully, Chris Goodman to talk about some SIAC football in the Evansville area with the tournament coming up. We're going to have Matt Mock, a Jasper High School player, former football, baseball player, former MLB player. He was drafted out of high school by pro baseball. Then he went, passed on a scholarship to play football at Michigan State, went on to leave baseball, go to LSU. Talk about an odyssey, where he hooked up with Nick Saban and won a national championship at LSU. Currently lives in Denver area. Well, I can't wait to talk to Matt. And John Goldsberry, who played with Purdue and then went to the NFL, he also joins us to talk a little bit about the Southern Indiana Skills Camp that they ran and the Huddle Pass online group he has. A lot of good things on today's show. Yesterday, as Joe goes to get our first guest, yesterday I was in Tell City, Indiana. It's along the beautiful Ohio River in southwest Indiana, and I was meeting with an old classmate of mine, Brad Smith, who owns the Tell City Pretzel Company. And if you've ever had Tell City pretzels, they are as hard a crunching pretzel as you will ever eat, and they are delicious. And Brad bought the company a few years back as it was laying dormant, revived it, and he's got that pretzel company going. It's a great story in our country where a small business owner, he's plugging away. He's doing a great job. You can go to Tell City Pretzels on the Internet. You can order them online. You have never tasted a pretzel like the Tell City Pretzel. They will send them through the mail. They have their original, their burnt, their pieces, their honey mustard, their honey barbecue. And I bring Brad up because I love seeing people out there exploring their passions, and Brad just has a passion to do this at this point in his life, and his wife Sandy, and it's just a couple workers putting it together and putting out thousands of pretzels every month. So if you like pretzels or like snacks in general, go to the web and look up Tell City Pretzels and order some. You will never have tasted a pretzel like that. So, Joe, I know Joe's back, and Joe, I was just commenting about being over in Tell City, but we've got our first guest, and you, Liz is ready to go, correct?
She is ready. Now, are we getting some free pretzels because of that plug, or?
It really was a plug. For a friend and a great little business he's running, and I know you've been over there, Joe. It was really interesting. He let me go back, and he actually let me make some of the pretzels, so it was a lot of fun. And so maybe if somebody orders online, they'll get the pretzels I made.
Uh-oh.
Let's talk to Liz Milligan. Is Liz on the line?
You want to go to break first?
You know what? Maybe we should. Let's go to break,
yep.
Get organized, folks. Big show today. Liz Milligan, John Goldsberry, Matt Mock, Chris Goodman. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
Welcome back to Tropics Weekly. I'm joined by owner, player, coach, Jackie Moon. Jackie, it is always an honor when you can drop by.
Always enjoy our time together, Dick Pepper.
Dick Pepperfield, actually. Now, Jackie, amazingly, you're two wins away from getting your team to the NBA. How do you intend to match up to the Squires' strong inside game?
It's a great question. Tomorrow, after the game, I, Jackie Moon, will wrestle a bear.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and you're talking with the coach, and we're going to be talking to another coach just 1 second from now, and it's not Jackie Moon. It's Coach Liz Milligan of the Jasper High School volleyball team, and I don't know if she's going to wrestle a bear to get into the tournament, but I know this season she has battled like she's battling a bear. Liz, it's great to have you on the show.
Well, it's finally great to finally be on the show.
Well, you know, what's interesting is I'm so excited because I'm actually talking to the Milligan that I like to talk to the most, and that's you, Liz, and we've been friends for a long time, and I was so excited to hear about you becoming the head volleyball coach at Jasper High School. And Liz, as we talk a little bit about your first year and the girls and the success you've had, and it really has been a successful season when you talk about most of the time you look at a season, you say, well, it's a tale of two seasons within one. You've got
Does
the regular
your website
season.
Work?
You've had more of a tale of three seasons. You come in, you're establishing yourself, you've got a young team, you get off to a what I would call a rocky start. You turn things totally around by doing a great job of hanging tough, and now you're going in the tournament. Liz, mm-hmm. When you look at where you started at the beginning of the year to where you are today, What's been the emotions as a new coach, as a young coach?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been an interesting first year, to say the least. We just had a really roller coaster ride of a season. We started out this summer, I was really excited. We got the girls in the gym, did some drills, and went to a really good Louisville U of L camp and just started really playing well together. I was excited about the season. We come back, we start this first part of the season, and we're just, you know, gung-ho to go. And first game of the season, we lose one of our big middle hitters. Sophie Weinberger goes down with a broken foot. And then just from there, it just kind of snowballed. Our senior Katie Cramp, she was kind of our vocal leader out there. She, unfortunately, started out the season, didn't even get to start the season, actually. She had a career-ending surgery on her ankle. So, you know, and then that was two. And then a concussion happened at the U of L camp, and it just started going downhill from there. And I was just, you know, saying, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do here? So we just brought up some younger players, just kept battling. Beginning of the season was kind of rocky for us, but we just hung our, you know, kept our heads high. And, got to the middle of the season, started playing some really good volleyball. So we're excited to get started now down in here into the tournament. We feel like we're playing some of the best volleyball that we have been playing. We've played some really good 4A school teams here down the stretch. And, you know, you kind of want to play well against them. I think we have for the most part. And we're just really excited to get the tournament started. So it starts next week on Tuesday.
You know, Liz, when you look again at where you came from, I mean, you're talking about a team, and I may not have the record exactly right, so forgive me, but at one point I think six games, matches under 500, turned it around, 17-16 to end the season, 4-2 in the conference. Again, I think that people can't truly understand what it's like when you start your first year as a coach, as a head coach of a program, and you've got a young team. There's so much learning that goes on both on the court for the players and as a coaching staff, getting to know your assistants, them getting to know your style, and as a coach getting to know yourself and when and how and at what point you make adjustments. And I really give you a lot of credit because you're not the typical high school coach who they show up to practice, they go home, they play a game. I mean, you started with these girls, as you said, going to a Louisville camp. You got out there, you play a great schedule, ranked teams all over the place. You guys have not been afraid, as Jasper Volleyball's program never has, to take on good competition, to prepare yourself for the tournament that's coming up at Jasper and your first match against Washington. So really, as a coach and as a team, you've had a year where you just have had to make adjustments.
Right, and it's just from the get-go. And, you know, being a first-year coach, it's, you know, I've coached in volleyball before, but it's really, as you know, it's nothing like coaching, being the varsity head coach. There's a lot of pressure on you. And I put my heart and soul into this program. You know, I played here. I played for Pat Sayre, legendary coach. And so, you know, the program to me is just really, it means a lot to me, and I want to be successful. And, you know, I think for the most part these girls are responding to me. I know I have a really different kind of approach to coaching. I'm pretty tough on them, but, yeah, you know, I love every one of my players. I would do anything for them. But, you know, a lot of times I'm pretty critical on them. I'm hard on them. I want them to do their best. I want to get the best out of them. And sometimes, you know, it's a tough love, as you probably know. But, you know, your players come back and they love you, you know. So, I mean, I hope that, you know, down the road that happens with me too, that these girls know that I would do anything for them. And, you know, for the most part, they're responding pretty well. It's taken a while to get them accustomed to the way I like to coach. You know, I'm a go-getter. I want them to get after it. I don't like slacking. And so I think, you know, as we head here into the tournament, I think our record definitely does not indicate a kind of a season that we've had. Like you said, you know, we did start kind of rocky. I think we won maybe the last 9 out of our 10 games there at one point and got, you know, worked really hard and battled really hard to get a little over 500, which, you know, is saying a lot. And right now I think we are 17-16. Our record, you know, it's not a great record. Would I have liked it better? Yeah, but, you know, we just got to stand strong in this tournament, which I think we can. I think we can make a pretty good run. We, you know, like I said, we play Washington on next Thursday, a pretty good Big 8 conference team there. So it should be a good match. So we're just really excited about getting started and getting into tournament.
You know, Coach, there are points in the season, and I've been through it, and I know coaches throughout the country who care about what they do have been through it. Some coaches just let it ride and don't worry about it. You obviously were not like that. Your girls were not like that. And what I'm pointing to is you get to that point where you're struggling. Injuries mount. Attitudes need to be adjusted. Decisions need to be made. And sometimes you'll see teams, they just keep going south or they keep going down. You guys did. And that's why I think the 17-16 record is awesome for you. End that season with these girls with a winning record, to do well in the conference. But when you look at it, you've got some girls that when it was time to shut up and put up your, you know, get out there and give them the best that they could get individually and as a team, got that done. Talk a little bit about some of your players and some of the assets and contributions they've made to the club.
Okay, well, you know, definitely, y'all are always all about your seniors. You know, definitely they've been great inspiration and role models for the underclassmen. They, you know, come to practice every day, and they, you know, they get after it, and they make sure that, you know, the younger ones are too. We got a couple of defensive players that I just really can't say enough about how much improvement they've made over the course of the summer, and you know, during the season, to Abby Pierce. She's a DS, as I said, and Mariah Moeller. They play in the back row, defensive specialist. Especially, you know, those two have just made strides in the back row. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, I tell them, you know, our defense is what's going to win you a lot of games. And so they really have stepped it up, and our defense has won us a lot of games here towards the stretch. And then we have our big left side hitter, Tori Summersheim. I think she leads our team in a lot of the statistical categories. You know, mainly she hits out there on the left side. She's a big threat out there. And she's, you know, the go-to girl. And so, she's going to be someone that we're going to rely on here coming into the tournament. And then we have another senior, Rachel Bound. She's kind of a comes off the bench and plays a lot of the right side hitting. Sometimes we need a big block up there or something, and a big point, she'll come in off the bench and do some good out there. And then Katie Krimp, of course, you know, she's our inspirational leader. She's out, you know, obviously career endings for her, and she's just a vocal leader. I don't know actually what would we do without her, because she's just always there to, you know, pick them up and cheer them on, and she's just had a great attitude through all this. And then, you know, with our injuries, we've really had to come rely on a bunch of sophomores that have to really play some really key roles on our lineup. And, you know, those of you who know a lot about volleyball, the setting position is the one that is I was a setter, but that's the most crucial part of the team. And, you know, I always call them the quarterback of the team. They have to lead the team to victory. And, you know, to put that on the shoulders of a freshman or a sophomore is, you know, really hard on that. I mean, I'm really hard on the setters. I expect a lot out of them. When things go wrong, it's always a setter that is the one that's pointed out the most. And you just need someone who is going to be able to take that and go with it. Now, Taya Leinebach, she's our sophomore setter, and she's been doing an excellent job for us. You know, she has her little moments, you know, that she's kind of has a little mental breakdown. But, you know, she's young, and she's gaining all this experience, and she's got a really bright future ahead of her down the road. And let's see, another sophomore would be Michaela Flamian. She plays our libero spot, which, you know, if you know anything about volleyball too, is she plays the different color jersey, and she is the defensive specialist on the team, like leads the back row, and so she, you know, her having to be a sophomore coming in to play that role is key too for her, and she's made strides too as well back there, and our other sophomore that's kind of had to be come up and was sort of out on our JV team and had to be moved up was Reagan Hoffmeister. Due to injury, she had to come up and fill a spot there in our middle position, which, you know, is another key position on the blocking and just running the net there. And so these three have just really, you know, stepped it up and have been instrumental in our success here down the road, they will. So, you know, and then our junior class, I can't, you know, say enough about them either. They're going to be the future next year. And we have Elizabeth Albrand. She hits on the left side. She does an excellent job out there. And then our other middle hitter is Emma Stout. She's a junior and really starting to blossom there. I'm so excited for her. She takes direction very well and just goes with it and has become a really good blocker there, which we're going to need down the stretch here. And let's see, we have a couple. Alex Crawford's back from a concussion that she suffered back in July. She's been back maybe now for about 2 weeks, so she's just kind of getting into the flow of things. And then a couple of DS on the bench, Lydia Schmidt and Abby Libert. They come in when things need to be done. You know, if someone's struggling or something, they come in and just add a little spark there if we need it. And then we've had an injury to Rachel Sternberg. She was a starting setter last year, so she went down with another ankle injury. She was in a boot. We became known as the boot team. We think we had five in boots at one time. It was ridiculous. I was like, okay, what am I doing here? And but she came back last week, as did Sophie Weidenbender. So we're starting to get our injuries back, but they're not going to be like play back. I mean, they're not going to be ready to play, but, you know, hopefully if we go far enough in the tournament, maybe they could come in and be, you know, some kind of a role there. Rachel was actually maybe going to play a little bit last night in the Castle match and then went down and rolled her ankle again. So I don't really know the status of her at this point. She hasn't been to see the trainer, but we're hoping that maybe she'll be able to help us out here going into the sectional next week. So I think that's about everybody I mentioned there. We do have a couple of players that are just kind of on the roster. They're, you know, like another group of sophomores that are going to be just not dressing out, but just there to help us in practice and stuff. And so we're excited about just getting started and see how we can do.
Well, you know, we always call the tournament the second season, and as a coach, I can...
That's right.
Yeah, I can think back to... I can think back to my first year as a head coach, getting ready for the sectional tournament, the excitement and enthusiasm. You know, even though some of these players that have been hurt can't play at the strength they would normally play or play at all yet, just having them back, having them feeling good about the possibility of as you move on to maybe get that opportunity, just helps the overall attitude of the team. And coach, I got to tell you, you know, the difference between a good coach and somebody who just shows up is a good coach is willing to demand the best and get the best out of his or her players. And sometimes it's not always easy, but everybody knows that even when we think as individuals we're giving our best, there's a little bit more inside of us, and the good coaches have to find a way to get that out and bring that together. And Liz, it sounds like you've done that. The Wildcats open up sectional play on Thursday against Washington. That is in Jasper. Liz, thanks for being with us. And hopefully a week or so from now we'll be talking to you as you prepare for regional play.
I hope so, yeah. It's been great talking to you, Kenny. Or should I say Coach K? Sorry.
Liz Milligan, coach of the Jasper volleyball team. Good luck in the tournament.
Okay.
Great job this year in her first year as head coach. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we've got Purdue great, former NFL player. He's giving back to his community and the fans, John Goldsberry, coming back after break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Uvalar with Uvalar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Uvalar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories, and they're all priced to sell. Some are certified, and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Uvalar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Jackie Moon finally making a move, and it is worth the wait.
On it low.
Woo!
Traveling.
No.
1.5 steps.
Come on, Jackie. You walk.
Don't murder your family. You're gone,
what?
Jackie Moon.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and we are joined by Purdue great, NFL great. I call him NFL great. I don't, you know, because he's great, because he's known as the G-Train to me, Coach K. I don't know if you ever knew that. The G-Train brings the pain. It's John Goldsberry. John, how's it going today?
Hey, you're doing great, guys. How are you?
I'll tell you what, that was a pretty appropriate song coming into a great song, Turn to Stone, and defensive backs know hitting John Goldsberry was like hitting stone, so... No doubt about it. It goes together. Joe, you did a good job putting that together.
Well, I appreciate you guys blowing me up here on the show. I appreciate that.
John, we got really a lot to talk about. A lot of people might think we're going to be talking just about Purdue football and things like that, but really, before we get into Purdue and where things are going with that team and Coach Hayes on the program, let's talk a little bit about John Goldsberry. And we know what you've done in your career. You know, great, all-time great Purdue football player, NFL opportunities. But now you're in a different role, a post-athlete role, and you really are someone who has taken his responsibility a step higher. You're not just, I'm a former college athlete who did well. I'm a former athlete who had an opportunity in the on the pro level. I'm taking my experiences, I'm taking my relationships, I'm taking my connections, and putting it together and giving back to the community, for example, the Southern Indiana Football Skills Camp, and then something we're going to talk about in a few minutes, the Huddle Pass. John, for me and for the listeners, giving back or sharing what you have, it's almost like sharing the wealth. It's a different kind of wealth. It's experience, it's knowledge, it's relationships, it's connections. It means a lot to you, doesn't it?
It does, you know, and I've been very fortunate to be put in the position I'm in and have the experiences I've had. You know, it's not for everybody, and not everybody gets the opportunity to do it. But one thing I want to make sure is I share those experiences and help, especially the younger generations, and, you know, share those experiences to give them the knowledge and the know-how to go out and be successful at that next level in life, you know, in a career and things like that. So I think it's important for somebody, you know, that's had my experiences to do that kind of stuff. You know, I always tell the story when I was back in high school, I think we may have been playing Jasper or Chittard or somebody, and Kenny Dilger, who was at that time playing for the Colts, walked in our locker room, gave us a speech. Of course, you know, all of our eyes are wide open, glazed over. We're just in awe that Kenny Dilger, an NFL guy, is in our locker room right now. And that effect, you know, from a motivational standpoint, inspirational standpoint, it just really hits hard on younger kids that look up to guys like that.
You know, John, we have writers who write books. You know, we have the internet with all that information. But it's not often, it probably happens more than we understand, but it's not often that we see the former athletes understand, and just people with experiences in general, what you've gone through, who you've met, what you've learned can play such a role in younger people's lives and in adult lives who've never had that opportunity. People buy books to learn about those things. People get on the internet to learn about those things. People watch documentaries on TV to learn about those things. You're actually giving a firsthand knowledge person to person, and you started doing that a little bit. I know you've done it more than this, but you started doing that a little bit with your Southern Indiana Football Skills Camp. Can you talk a little bit about how that's gone, some of the people that have been involved, and what are the key things you try to get across to the young people through that camp?
Well, you know, the main focus of the camp, it wasn't just to get kids out there doing drills and things like that. You know, they're gonna do the football drills through the summer. They're gonna do them with their coaches. They're gonna do them in training camp and things like that. So, you know, we can do as many drills as we want, but if you're not doing the drills the right way, if you're not doing them on your own when the coaches aren't watching, you know, you're not putting in the extra effort. You're not setting your goals. You're not being specific about how you're going to achieve those goals. Things like that. You know, that's why me and John Standiford and Stu Schweigert and Landon Johnson and Rob Ninkovich, you know, Nick Hardwick. I could go down the list. All of these guys that I played with at Purdue that had the opportunity to play professional football, and some of them still are. You know, that's why we made it to that next level. It wasn't because we did a whole bunch of drills and we kept doing them. We did them the right way, we did them at practice, but we put in the extra time to do them even better on our own. And until kids understand what it takes to be successful and to push harder than everybody else around you, you know, it's going to be very tough to make it to that level. You know, a lot of guys make it on pure talent. They make it to that level, but the problem is when they get to that level, they get outworked. And no matter where you show up, there's always somebody bigger, badder, stronger, faster. Unfortunately,
I'm
not.
You make a great point, John. And
unfortunately, I'm not the best athlete on the planet. Sorry to say.
But what you're saying is it makes a lot of sense. And I know when I was coaching, I saw this all the time, and I still see it with young people when I help out with teams or camps. You know, you walk out on the playground, and you know who's a pretty good athlete. You know who's taller. You know who's quicker. But as time goes on, I call it a war of attrition, a game of attrition. Who can hang in there the longest? Who can do the goal planning? Who can have purpose in what they do? Who can stay focused? Because those are going to be the guys that move up past the more talented players who fall to the wayside, or who decide to go do something else, or who decide they don't want to put in the time and effort. And having guys like John Goldsberry and other former college athletes come out and talk to these young guys about this, and even young girls in instances, it really helps them to understand, I'm not the fastest in my grade right now. I'm not the tallest in my grade right now. I'm not the best shooter or the best passer. But if I'm willing to put together the goals and how to get there and listen and learn as I go forward, these kids have a chance, maybe not just in the sport, but in life, to be successful.
Absolutely. And you know, one thing I kind of hit around, but I didn't really specifically say it. Well, you know, one of the more important things, and it's been very tough for me this fall, with Purdue sitting at 1-5, Heritage Hill sitting at 2-6, I believe. You know, it's been very tough for me watching some of these games. You know, both of my teams aren't very successful right now. But, you know, we can talk about penalties. We can talk about not running the right routes. We can talk about the small things, and they are all very important. But probably the biggest thing that hits home with me and anybody that knows me or watched me play at Purdue or at Heritage Hills understands what type of personality I am. But the thing that hits home worse with me is I don't see enthusiasm. I don't see leadership. I don't see guys buying into the fact that, hey, we're going to show up today or tonight and we're going to kick your butt every single play, and then after the game, you're never going to want to play football against us again. And I don't see that enthusiasm. I don't see that leadership. You know, there's not a lot of hooping and hollering and things like that. So, you know, with Purdue halfway through the season, hopefully that'll start to change. You know, guys will get a little more confident with Etling out there. And I think he's a good decision maker. I think he's got a great arm. He just needs some time and he needs some experience. So he's kind of in a tough situation right now, but I like the direction we're heading with him. And then, you know, Heritage Hills, obviously, we got a game tonight against South Spencer. It's going to be a tough Spencer County rivalry. And then sectionals, you know, sectionals we open up with Memorial, but it's like a brand new season. Nothing else matters. You either win or you go home. One of the two, nobody cares about the records. So hopefully we'll see some change in that quickly on both sides. And, you know, that, like I said, that's just one thing that's very obvious to me. And guys, just these kids got to learn how to buy in and become team leaders and be enthusiastic. I mean, you got to love the game.
Yeah, you've got to love the game. And I think that sometimes our young people in athletics and as we get adults, and I'm sure I've been guilty of the same thing, we start reading that scoreboard too often, and we need to worry about, focus on each possession, each play, each step in the day, and be giving our best on that play, our best on that possession, our best during that work day. It may not be the best we have all the time, John, but it should be the best at that time and give our focus. I think we're going to get a lot further on the scoreboard than if we just keep watching and saying, well, we're down 7, we're down 14. And I think a lot of times these young guys, they lose their mental focus because they're watching that scoreboard.
Yeah, and it's tough for younger kids, you know, because they don't see the overall picture sometimes. They don't understand that, you know, it doesn't matter if you win a game by 1 point or 100 points. But the bottom line is, you know, it doesn't matter if you have 100 yards rushing or 10 yards rushing. The bottom line is that the team gets a W, and with team success comes individual success. You know, when I was at Purdue, we had Drew Brees, Kyle Orton. Both of them were Heisman quality quarterbacks. And you know, the best thing about those two was they didn't care about the Heisman. They cared about going to that 8th bowl game in a row, that 9th bowl game in a row, that 10th bowl game in a row, or however many we went to. And, you know, we had the opportunity to go to 5 of them, 2 very big bowl games with the Citrus Bowl and the Rose Bowl. So guys like that that put that stuff behind them and focus on the team and executing play by play, game by game, day by day, that's what really makes a difference.
You know, John, you brought up Purdue a little bit and going with the young quarterback. Etling, let me ask you a question from your experience both on the college level and some time spent with the pro level. What are the concerns or what are the cautions going with this young quarterback with a team that's not real strong at this point? Let's face it, they're not real strong. You're putting him in there. The odds of success are going to be limited. What would be your concern going with this young guy mentally or physically for him?
You know, they're at this point, it's obvious that Purdue's struggling. We're 1-5. We're just, at this point, we're simply not a very good football team. We've got a lot of improvements to make. And, you know, I think each week, Etling as a young quarterback and several of the other young players out there, they're going to get better with game time experience. You can practice all you want, but when you step on the game field at the college level and the pro level, it's totally different. It's a totally different speed. You have to learn to react. Nothing scripted. I mean, it's, you know, it's a different experience. And without that game experience, he's not going to improve just by going to practice. So I think throwing him in the fire was a good decision. Get him out there. It was obvious, you know, that, you know, Rob Henry's a great athlete. He's a great kid. And it was obvious he was struggling and we needed to make a change. So I'm glad we did. But, you know, each week he's gonna show improvement, I think, and hopefully Etling turns out to be the next Drew Brees, the next Jim Everett, Kyle Orton, you know, whatever, and jumps into that cradle of quarterbacks and embraces the moment, because I think Coach Hazel's a great leader. He's been successful in the past, and, you know, Coach Hope, program went downhill while he was there. Coach Hope was actually an offensive lineman coach when I was at Purdue, and I'd say 5 to 10 of his linemen went on to play in the NFL, including Matt Light, who protected the blind side of Tom Brady for several, you know, 10-11 years, I think it was, several Super Bowl rings. So Coach Hope was a great offensive lineman coach. Unfortunately, he struggled as the head coach, and things kind of went downhill a little bit. So with Coach Hazel coming in, you know, he's got a lot of work to do. But I think over time, here within a year or two, we're going to see some good change, and you know, Etling's going to be a part of that good change.
Well, I would love to talk a little more about Purdue football with you, and we got to get you back really quick so we can talk more football, because I'm interested to see how Etling handles things mentally as this season goes on. Purdue is where it's at. It's got to build for the future, and he's an important part of that. But before we let you go, can you give us a little info, something new on the internet called Huddle Pass? What does John Goldsberry know about Huddle Pass?
So huddlepass.com is a new website. It's a new idea. That a couple guys from Northwestern, a couple former Northwestern Wildcats football players came up with. And C.J. Bacher is the head guy, played quarterback back when I was in college, actually. And C.J. came up with the idea of creating this, you know, social platform for college football. And what we've done is we've went out and we've gathered all these huddle experts, so to speak, is what we're calling them. You know, for Purdue, for instance, for Purdue, it's myself, Stu Schweigert, Brandon Villarreal, Brandon Kirsch, Joey Elliott, an Evansville guy. We also have Charles Davis. So what we're doing is we're writing weekly features. We're doing Q&I, question and insights, And we also have a forum out there where people can come online and interact with us directly, ask us questions about the game, about the, you know, the conference, about the team in general, or whatever it is. You know, people ask what our favorite stadium was to play in, things like that. But interact with us directly and get, you know, the huddle experience. Hear from us directly as former players why we run cover four on a specific play, or why we're, you know, we run the ISO on a specific play. Things like that that maybe they can't get from ESPN or whoever it is, but they can come in and hear it directly from us and chat directly with us. So huddlepass.com is that experience. We've got tons of guys out there. We started with the Big Ten Conference, but we've already expanded. You know, we've already got Alabama involved. We've got Duke. We've got Mississippi State. So we're getting into some of those other conferences as well, UCLA, Notre Dame. You know, there's a lot of schools out there that are getting involved. And it's really cool for me because, obviously, I know the Purdue guys, but then I'm seeing all these other guys that I used to play with that I kind of forgot about or I played against them. You know, I'm like, oh, Craig Krenzel from Ohio State's in the huddle with us. So I'm kind of, in a sense, working with them now. You know, Shad Williams from Alabama, played at Alabama. I also played with him in Buffalo. So guys like that, it's really cool to see some of their features and some of their feedback or insights on things as well online. So huddlepass.com, you can log in and create an account and start interacting with former D1 and a lot of NFL players as well.
Yeah, it's a great site, John. It's a great site. I'm on it right now. And if you're listening to the show, whether it's live or podcast, go on. Pop over to huddlepass.com and check it out. And really, it is the Big Ten. It's what he was saying. He's got SEC teams in there. We got South Carolina, UCLA, Washington State, a lot of different ones. I love this, John, because it really brings some of the guys who have been in the game, have great experiences, great knowledge. Some named guys are on this, some other guys that the people who are familiar with the university would connect to right away. But it gives them a chance to come back and be a part of the game with the fans again, but in a different way. Again, you guys are connecting the former athletes up with the people that used to follow them, with who have questions, who are listening to the sports analysts or sportscasters who maybe don't have the intimate knowledge of their program, of their coaching staffs that you guys have. Great concept. Have you enjoyed being a part of this?
Absolutely. And, you know, we started out with this website. It's been a few months now. We started back in August. And, you know, there are some things that are ongoing. They are changing. The online experience is only going to get better. So, you know, some people may get on there and say, well, you know, Facebook has this, Twitter has this. How come you guys don't have some of these features yet? Well, we're getting there. We're working on them, and it's only going to get better from a usability and experience standpoint. But the one thing we've been focusing on is getting great content out there. So, you know, Huddle Pass's goal is to get you in the huddle, get you into Coach Krenzel's mind, get you into Coach Hazel's mind, get you into the player's mind, you know. With NCAA rules and everything else that's going on right now, there's Purdue alumni that want to know things, but they can't go to a player. They can't go to the coach and ask them. But what they can do is come to former guys like us that have been in that position, and we understand what the coaches are, you know, are thinking, or what the players are thinking, or why they're probably running a certain play on a certain down. So there's a lot of information from our experience that we can give back and try to keep these fans excited and keep them educated.
Well, John, I just think it's a great site. I think it really is. If the focus and the people get there, I think it'll grow, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. And I really do think former players have this desire to communicate what they've been through and what they see and where they think things are headed. And I think it's a great opportunity for them to be reconnected with the fans. Before we let you go, one quick question, just as a fan in general. Purdue plays this great game against Notre Dame. After that, just seems to struggle all the way through. What was it, just the excitement of playing Notre Dame? Is this where the mental break in this team is? Or can you explain to our listeners a little bit what put the team in a position to play Notre Dame so well, and then after that just seemed to struggle?
You know, it's mind-boggling to me as well, and it's tough to say, but, you know, you come off of a game, you got the big season opener against Cincinnati, and everybody's excited. We got a new coach. We're playing in, you know, Cincinnati's a good football team, but you know, we're thinking we're going to come in, we're going to battle it out, and it's going to be a great game. We're going to come out with a win, and we just came out and flopped. Then you turn around the next week against Indiana State, which should be a total wash. You know, everybody kind of assumes that when Indiana State's playing a Big Ten school, we're probably going to put a whooping on them. And when we come out and we get the W, but it's not exactly eye-opening, let's say that. Or maybe it was eye-opening, but it was taken the wrong way. So, you know, so a lot of people were kind of down in the dumps. And then we show up to Notre Dame and just play a hell of a game. I was actually there in the stands and with a bunch of former teammates of mine. And, you know, all the way up until the fourth quarter, you know, Purdue's got this game in the bag. They're playing great. And then all of a sudden, you know, a few penalties, a few mistakes, and Notre Dame scores 21 points in the fourth quarter and lights out, game over, thanks for playing. So, you know, it was definitely a heartbreaker. And, you know, we've lost some football games here, but if you look at the schedule, these are all very good football teams. There's things to be frustrated about. Obviously, nobody cares why you lose. They just want a W. And there's all the excuses in the books that we could go through and lay out for people. But bottom line is we got to find a way to get a W. And we're just going to have to keep improving every game and play with enthusiasm and play with leadership. And these guys got to really buy into the fact that they're going to do that because, you know, I think self-pity is probably the worst disease in this world today, and losing contributes to that. But winning's a disease as well. You know, they're both very contagious. So we need to get that first W here, or second W on the season, the first one in a few weeks anyways, and build off of it and really get these guys to buy in and change their attitudes because – the season's only so long, and we're halfway through it already, and something's got to change quickly.
Well, John, thanks for being with us. Great stuff. We'll see what this freshman quarterback can bring to the table. I know he's got a lot of talent. I hope he stands in there mentally tough enough. Hey, I also think you may know a former player of mine. Really love the guy, Nick Blessinger.
Yes, sir. I see him daily. Nick's a great guy, And just so you guys know, Nick and I, along with 10 other people, we're running a Tough Mudder tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. in Maysville, Kentucky. So pray for us, and hopefully I'll make it to the next Coach K and Joe show.
Well, you tell Nick that Coach said hi, and he may be doing a mudder with you, but I think he took my truck mudding one time. I didn't see it for a while and never ran the same. Great having you, John. We're going to go to break.
Right.
When we come back, we're going to be talking with Chris Goodman, hopefully, about some Evansville area football. And then we'll move on with Matt Mock, national championship quarterback, later in the show. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
Come on, dude. Gives you nothing but a dumb bear. Smack, smack. Yep. Woo. Crazy fist. I'm coming with crazy fist. Huh? This is fine. He's not doing anything. Split. Can you dig it? Jackie Boo. Split.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Yeah, we're hot-blooded with Foreigner coming on. Joe, you're doing a great job on the luxury music. Speaking of hot-blooded, we're back here on the Coach K and Joe Show. This is Coach K, Ken Schulteis, and our next guest gets me hot-blooded. Not in the way a girl would. I'm talking about in a competitive nature. He's all about sports and around the area, the Evansville area. Chris Goodman, great to have you back on the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, man, great to be here. You know, I think I texted you this morning and said one of these, it's kind of like Sesame Street, you know, one of these things is not like the other. You got Matt Mock and John Goldsberry, and then you got Chris Goodman, you know. One of those is not a good athlete, and I'm not going to say which.
I'm sure Matt feels out of place. Matt Mock, you know, probably doesn't bring much to the team.
Just a national champion, right? That's all.
And a great Odyssey getting there. It's going to be fun talking to Matt. Of course, Matt played a few years of basketball for me as well at Jasper, and we're excited to have him. But we're more excited, hot-blooded, check it and see, Chris Goodman on the show, and we're going to talk a little high school football to start out. We're at tournament time. A week from now, it all gets started in the state of Indiana.
Yeah, it's hard to believe the season has already come and gone, and, you know, it hasn't really been that cold, so it just doesn't feel like, you know, sectional playoffs are upon us, but, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited to see the playoffs and see what some of our area teams will do against some of the teams, you know, once they get out of sectionals and moving on. It's always neat. We always root for the teams, at least when I was a sports anchor. You always wanted all the teams in Southern Indiana to do well. You always wanted the teams in Kentucky and the teams that we have in Illinois that we cover to do well, and it's always a good time of year to kind of see, to kind of gauge to see how good these teams are once they step outside of their own conference.
Well, tonight they'll have a little bit more cool weather to play in. I know it was cool this morning when I woke up. My kids were yelling at me because they said it's cold, and they said, Dad, turn on the heat. I said, November. No heat till November.
Yeah, so you didn't have the heat on all last night. I will admit I caved. I've got a two-year-old, so he's coming down with a little bit of a cold, so I still think that, you know, you got to have the heat on a little bit, right? But it's probably colder where you're at. Are you in Evansville or Jasper?
Evansville. I'm in Evansville.
Evansville, that's right. That's right. I always forget that.
Hey, Chris, big game tonight. Big matchup in Evansville in the SIAC. We've got number one and undefeated Mater Dei taking on Westside rival, the tradition, the great stadium, the Rice Bowl, taking on the Rice Panthers. Couple of losses, ranked, I think, 10th in one of the polls. This is a classic Westside SIAC clash, usually has implications on who's going to win the conference. Definitely big bragging rights, and probably the two most prominent football programs in the city of Evansville.
Yeah, and you know, you'd say this has been an unbelievable rivalry, but I was just doing a little pregame prep today, and Rice has won 8 of the last 10, and I was kind of surprised at that. I thought Mater Dei had been a little more balanced in the series, but that has not been the case. In fact, Mater Dei won 2 years ago, and before that, Rice had rattled off like 6 straight in a row. They had shut out Mater Dei 3 times, which you don't shut out Mike Gable's offense very often. So tonight, I think, is one of those table turner kind of games. Mater Dei's loaded. I mean, they've got some great players. They've got bookends on the defensive line. I really, Logan Nicholson and Adrian Butler, I think the world of those two. I mean, they just really had huge games against Castle. And then you got a Rice team that certainly hasn't played as well, but they started off slow, and now here they are once again. And it seems like every year once they get to the postseason, you know, Rice is kind of turning it up a notch. They had a big win against Bossy last week. So I think it's the stage is set for another good game, and I think anything can certainly happen in that contest tonight.
Well, you bring up the coaches a little bit. Mike Gable, of course, probably one of the dean coaches in the Southern Indiana, especially the state, Evansville. Very, very successful at Mater Dei, a 2A school, obviously a parochial school here in Evansville. But predominantly on the west side at Modern Day, you're getting Modern Day kids who have come up through the parochial system with, against Wright, a new coach, a tradition rich, one of the larger public schools in Evansville. They are a 4A team. I look at this game and I think Wright's adjusted to a new coach, started out a little slow, but have really come on. Modern Day, on the other hand, strong lines, offensive and defensive, good offensive skill positions. I don't know. I don't know if I see this game being a close game, and I'm probably, when I say that, I think Modern Day, in my opinion, should be a two-touchdown winner here. That's my opinion. I do know it's a West Side rivalry. I do know Wrights has won, as you said, the majority out of the last 10. But this Modern Day team, I don't just like them because of their skill positions. I like them because of their lines.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing is I was thinking, you know, what's going to be the biggest difference in this game, whether Wrights can run it against Modern Day or whether Wrights can slow down Modern Day. And you look at both of those, and I think both of those could happen. I think Wrights could really struggle to run against a good defensive line. They're going to have to go to the air. It's not their strong suit. They're certainly capable of doing that, but I think they're going to have to go to the air to get some points on the board. And then I think as far as Modern Day running it, you got Nolan Gable, and he had a huge game against Castle. And when you run it on the ground with behind that great offensive line, no matter really who they toss in the backfield, and not to take anything away from Gable at all because he's a great, great hard-nosed runner, typical of a Modern Day runner, but I think no matter who you put in that backfield behind that line, they're going to pick up some yardage, and Wrights is going to have their work cut out for them, slowing down Modern Day. They pitched some shutouts in years past. I don't think that's certainly going to happen tonight. Two-touchdown favorite, I think, if you were actually talking to the odds makers. I think that might be a little much, but I think it could end up being a two-touchdown game by the time it's all said and done.
You look at some of the other games. What are some of the other key matchups in the SIAC on this Friday?
You got Memorial at Castle. Memorial's 2-6. They've certainly struggled this year. They've got a great running back, and they're playing at Castle. The Knights are 5-3. I still don't know what to think of Castle. Castle's kind of been up and down this season. I think they're a young, growing football team that's kind of got some inexperience, and that's why they've kind of been up and down. Central and North battle. That's always the tail-end game of the season as those two teams' rivals battle, and then Harrison at Ball State.
Yeah, and this Harrison team, they had this huge lead. Coach Brunson had a huge lead against Memorial last weekend. And you know, between clock problems and everything else, Memorial was able to come back, I think, 3-4 touchdowns down and came back and won that game in overtime. It was a nice win for Memorial because they had been struggling, losing some games close, getting off to bad starts. Harrison trying to find their way to victory in the SIAC. Of course, it's just been an interesting year overall. Not any great teams other than maybe a Modern Day, but a lot of what people have called parity in the Evansville SIAC division.
Yeah, I would agree to that. I think the teams are up and coming, and I think they're growing. So they got some young coaches that are doing some wonderful things with these teams. I think, like you said, Memorial certainly a growing team. They picked up a big win against Harrison. It was a very tough loss for Harrison. But I think they're growing. They're getting better. I think Central's a pretty good team and going to be a tough out come sectional time, as is Wrights in Class 4A. Bossy's going to be a tough out. They're 4-4. But if you take away the fact that they've lost to Modern Day and Wrights, you know, two pretty good football teams, then obviously you can't take that away. You got to have the record that you have. But I think heading into the sectionals, I think Ball State could be a spoiler. I think they could win the sectional. I think they could move on. And even though these teams, and like we do say, there is a lot of parity, they're equal, I think there's some strengths of these teams, and I think there's some teams certainly capable of making a good run other than Modern Day. Obviously, Modern Day is going to have a good chance to make a good run, but I really liked the way the sectional stacked up and the way the South Ridge was at the bottom and Modern Day was at the top, because I think everybody kind of wants to see that matchup. Obviously, the people that root for those other schools don't want to see that matchup, but I think as sports fans, you want to see Modern Day and South Ridge battle in that championship game of the sectional.
Speaking of South Ridge, another good solid team out of the PAC conference in Southern Indiana. A big game coming up with another team, Gibson Southern.
Yeah, and that's, boy, I mean, I would like to be there. You know, if you're going to be at any of the game besides Modern Day Rights tonight from an Evansville area perspective, I would think that would be the game you'd want to be at because Southridge has had a great season. They got one loss. And then Gibson Southern has this offense that just continues to click. It's kind of mind-boggling what Nick Hart has done and how that team has done so well in the offensive end. And it's not just an offensive team. They slow people down as well. So I really think that game could be a very telling point of how Modern Day could do against Southridge because Gibson Southern is going to go there, and it's going to be kind of the type of offense that Modern Day has, not quite. Modern Day runs it quite a bit more. They don't score as many points. But I think that's one of those things that Southridge could make a statement there with a win.
You know, I agree with you, Chris, and I think that for both teams, this is a statement game. Gibson Southern, I think, has been held below 50 points maybe one time this season. Southridge has a vaunted offense, a slew of running backs, solid defense, and this has always been kind of a ledger game. You find out where you're really at, and what a time to find out where you're really at the end of the season, a week before the tournament. Gibson Southern can find out just how they stack up against solid competition. Southridge, again, they played Jasper earlier in the year, but they find out where they stack up going into the tournament. I think this is really a fans' game all the way around.
Yeah, and one thing you got to remember, too, is Gibson Southern, they didn't lose many games last year. I think they lost a pretty good North Posey team, and then they lost, obviously, Southridge, and then they lost to Indianapolis Chittard before they made that great run in the sectional. So it's also a chance for Gibson Southern to have a little payback against Southridge. But you see kind of what happened last year when that good offense ran into a pretty good defense, one of the better defenses they'll face in Southridge, and I think that could be a telling point of that game tonight. I think Gibson Southern's probably going to emerge with the victory. I think they're a lot better than they were at this point last season, and they've been rolling, you know, since they hit the playoffs last year. But I think Gibson Southern's going to win it, but I don't think they're going to hit the points that they hit. They only had 35 against Tell City last week, so I'm thinking more in the 35-28 type range for a game score, and that's just a guess. Having not seen Southridge this year, it's kind of hard to know that, but I've seen lots of video, and they certainly look very impressive.
Well, I know our good friend Kurt Guxel, sports director at WBDC, longtime sports broadcaster, especially for Southridge Raider event. He always looks at this game, and he's told me in the past, you know, everybody wants to see the Gibson Southern Southridge matchup, but Southridge has always proved to be the much stronger team in this game. It really will be interesting. I think this Gibson Southern team is pretty solid. I think it's mentally tough. I think his system is set in place. Again, Southridge does have a solid defense. Gibson Southern's schedule is what it is. It's the same thing I say about the Jasper schedule. It is what it is, and you can only base it on the scoreboard. Gibson Southern's winning. They're undefeated going into this game. They're in the top three in one poll. I think they're number one in another poll or something close to that. I mean, it's a good matchup, but I think Coach Hart and Gibson Southern, they're going to find out where they really stack up.
Yeah, and I think that's one of those games that could go to overtime. I really do. I mean, I think Southridge is obviously really, really tough at home. They don't lose a lot of games there. And I think this is going to be, looking at Gibson Southern's schedule, some of the teams they played, I think this is going to be probably the best defense that they faced the entire season. And it's going to be hard for them to score the amount of points. Are they going to be shut out? Obviously not. I mean, they're going to put up their points and get some, and they're going to score touchdowns. And it may be a lower-scoring game. I'm thinking, like I said, maybe 28-28 going to OT and 35-28, something like that. Gibson Southern might eke out a win, but you just never know. Southridge is going to be at home. They've got a lot of heart. They play with so much heart up there, and God bless Googs for doing those games all these years. He's fantastic. I've always listened to him driving back when I was a sports anchor to get the scores, and he does just a fantastic job. And if he says that, then a lot of times he's accurate on those type of statements.
Yeah, I love Kurt. Known him a long, long time, and he really has a pretty good pulse, so it'd be interesting. Well, hopefully be talking with Kurt later in the show. You know, I'm going to switch you out of the high school realm for a little bit with the few minutes we have left here. Chris, I want to talk a little bit about it's on the front page of the sports, and especially in Indiana and in Denver, Peyton Manning coming back to take on the Indianapolis Colts and Andrew Luck. Just quickly, what was with Jim Irsay? Were his comments taken out, or was Jim Irsay really just trying to stir things up and maybe play a little head game with Pate? And why is an owner doing something like that?
Boy, you know, that's the one thing, the million-dollar question. You can never really judge intent. You can only go by what people say. That's the only way you can really judge them, especially when you're in the media and you're a journalist. You have to hear what they say and try to put it into context. And I honestly don't know. I mean, I don't know what he was trying to say. It just confuses me even thinking that he would even go there considering what Peyton did. And I've heard the comment that sticks out to me the most is if you ask Peyton the same question, he would say the same thing. Yes, we should have won more championships when I was at the Colts. So I think from that perspective, Irsay and Peyton would be on the same page, but it looks like a kind of a slap in the face, and the media probably built it up a little more than it did. They need to have their stories and you know, working in the media. I mean, I'd certainly run with that. It's kind of interesting to see, you know, somebody say something like that after you have somebody that basically built the new stadium. He was credited for doing, you know, what he did, but was it that harsh? I don't think it was completely inaccurate by any means, but could he have had more tact? Yes, I think he could have.
Yeah, and I agree, and I just don't understand why. I think for the most part the media and fans have accepted, you know, the Colts did what they needed to do, and they got a great quarterback in the draft. Peyton Manning proved a lot of people wrong. He came back healthy, and he went to a great place that wanted Peyton Manning and John Elway and Coach Fox. They provided what he's needed to be successful, and maybe the Colts couldn't do that in the short term. And let's face it, Peyton Manning's career is going to be much shorter, barring injury, to Andrew Luck. But I thought a lot of that had died down, and I don't really understand why Jim Irsay, who I think is a pretty competent owner, I know that he's inherited a lot of this stuff, but he's never made crazy comments like, not real. His dad did. His dad made a lot of crazy comments. I was just shocked at why he would throw, as an owner, who Peyton could have thrown under the bus and never did, could have created a storm, could have created division, never did it, why he would throw those things out there.
Yeah, and it's hard to tell. You know, maybe there's a little bit of jealousy with the fact that Denver's doing good, and I've heard other comments. Maybe he wants to justify his decision when he has the neck injury to let him go and to move in a different direction, and maybe he's trying to kind of say, you know, I'm sure there's some sentiment. I think, like you said, Colts fans for the majority are happy they got a quarterback the caliber of Luck now, and they're moving in a different direction, certainly. But I think there's some sentiment that when Peyton comes back, he's afraid they're going to get that big cheer, and he's going to see what they could have had last year, this year, and they potentially could have had a team that may have went to the Super Bowl last year with that team, that great run that they had. So I think there's a little bit of jealousy. I don't know. It's hard to judge the intent of another man, and that's one of the things that I kind of try to stay away from because I'm not walking in that guy's shoes. But I certainly think he could have picked his words a little better. And he could have used a little more tact. I think I'm struggling to find the words here myself, but he could have shied away from saying something like that. But I don't think at the same time that it's inaccurate. I really believe that Peyton in his own heart believes they should have won more championships when he was with the Colts, and they certainly could have. They just, you know, fell short some years in the playoffs. They had some unbelievable teams, unbelievably talented teams, undefeated late in the season, and they're, you know, one and done in the playoffs. So I think there were some – that year they lost to Pittsburgh. Man, it was a heartbreaker. So I think they had some teams that were capable of it. But at the end of the year, only one NFL team wins a Super Bowl. So I think Irsay has to also realize how special that was.
Yeah, I agree, and I think people need to remember it is tough to win, and it's really tough to win in the playoffs. And some of your weaknesses get exposed in the playoffs, both mental – and physical, they get exposed. And you're able to hide them throughout the year, and you sometimes look better than what you are because you've been able to highlight certain players. But in the tournament, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, those weaknesses start to come out a little bit. And another thing is a lot of teams that beat Peyton Manning teams went ahead and went on to win the Super Bowl. So it wasn't that they lost to slouches. They lost to teams that either went to the Super Bowl or went on to win the Super Bowl. So let me turn to one more thing before we let you go, Chris. Again, we appreciate having you. Hope you'll come back next week and talk about some of these teams who are going to win in the tournament, high school tournament to start out. But the playoff committee, for college football was announced, and everybody has their opinion. And I'm going to throw out the list: Jeff Long, Barry Alvarez, Lieutenant General Michael Gould, Pat Hayden, Oliver Luck, Andrew Luck's dad, Archie Manning, Tom Osborne, Mike Trangisi, Ty Willingham, Condoleezza Rice. Now, first of all, to the listeners who say, oh, he's just picking on a female. Now, I think there are a lot of females that could be on this committee that bring more to the table than Condoleezza Rice. I'm not going to get into the opinion. I want to know your thoughts on this playoff committee quickly. I know that we've just read a little bit about it, but just your thoughts on this initial airing of this playoff committee for college football.
You know, first of all, I'm so glad they're going to a playoff. I think it's about time. I think there's been so many corporate sponsors that it's been tough for them to go to that for a long, long time. So I'm glad they're moving in that direction. Whether those guys are the right guys, I guess we'll probably know when we're all complaining, sitting back in our easy chairs and saying, you know, kind of like the NCAA tournament with the basketball and March Madness, you're thinking, well, some team was left out. This team was left out. That team was left out. Until they make those decisions, it's going to be kind of hard to see if they're making those wrong decisions or whether we should criticize them or not. But certainly there's some people on there that you think, well, you'd want somebody with a little bit more of a sports mentality or a sports aptitude, somebody that kind of watches college football on a basis that you just know, like former coaches like Lou Holtz or, you know, people like that that just kind of are around the game and get a good glimpse of what's in there. But you certainly don't want people that are going to just represent the major teams either. You want somebody that's going to give everybody a fair shake. So that's kind of my opinion on that. I don't know whether that individual committee will do that good of a job, but I'm excited to see, you know, what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I agree with you. The playoff is long overdue. Just like this year with the BCS poll coming out and the teams, we've got a bunch of undefeated teams left. We'll see what happens down the road, but we've got a team in the Big Ten. They could go undefeated and not be in a position to play for a national championship based on the different conferences and the strengths of schedules and all those things, where at least in a 14 playoff, they probably go into the mix. And so I agree, it's just long overdue.
Yeah, it's been just way too long in the making, and I just think that they probably should have went to that a long time ago, but I think they're making, college football's making tons of money, I think, on having all those bowls and having those big corporate sponsors for each individual bowl. And if you go to a playoff, you certainly take the thrill out of all those individual bowls meaning so much to their respective programs, and I think it, you know, then the focus shifts to, you know, the real postseason, which is going to be the playoffs. So I can understand why they did that, but I think they figured out a way to monetize that first. I think that was priority number one for the NCAA. I think they figured out a way to do that. And then once they did, then they decided, hey, let's go ahead and go with this. And that's my gut feeling on it. I don't have any, like, super evidence to support that, but I think that's the biggest reason that we finally saw a playoff is because it's going to make college football millions, and the NCAA millions and millions of dollars, probably over the top of what they're making, you know, with the individual bowl games like they were making with the corporate sponsorship. So it's going to be neat to see that finally happen. Whether, you know, it makes the NCAA money or not is probably irrelevant to fans who are going to be interested in seeing those games.
And as we know, Chris, it's all about amateur sports, not the billions and billions and billions of dollars. Chris, thanks for being with us again. Hopefully we'll have you back next week, and we'll be able to talk about some of the winners coming out of these tournament games that will be starting in the state of Indiana.
Anytime. You guys have fun tonight, and stay warm and get your heat on for your kids because it's going to be chilly. You got to turn on that. You know, just a side story, my father-in-law, when I always go, he lives up in Peoria, Illinois. We always go up there, and he always keeps his air off until November, just like you. And I freeze my tail off. So turn on your heat, doggummit.
A lot of hot air comes out of this mouth.
That may be enough, right?
Yeah, I'll talk to you later, Chris. Hey, I want to say hello to my lovely wife, Janet Schulteis, who's listening before her next appointment. She's a financial advisor with Edward Jones and does a tremendous job for her clients. Janet, thanks for listening to the show. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to do a little mailbag, maybe some more opinions before we hook up with national championship football quarterback for LSU 2003. I believe it was Matt Mock. We're going to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams. Natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
Dukes, where are you from? Flint, Michigan. And I never missed a game.
Woo!
Homegrown! Dukes is homegrown. I think you're on a little something that's homegrown, baby. We're having fun.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
It's not the U.S. Postal mailbag. It's not the Joe mailbag. It's the Coach K mailbag.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers! Coach K speaks the truth! Woo!
Now here's Coach K and Joe with this week's Coach K's mailbag.
And we're back for the Coach K mailbag. And Coach, you ready?
Oh, Joe, you just turned me through, but yes, I'm ready. Throw it at me, and I'll do the best I can, because you know Coach K speaks the truth.
He speaks the truth, but in about 8 or 9 minutes, we're gonna have Matt Mock speaking, so.
Oh, I can't
okay,
wait.
First question. This is from Ty in Jasper. Do you think he has what it takes to transition from sixth man to starter and leader of a very young team? What do you expect to see from him?
Hey, I think that there's a lot of question marks for the Hoosiers going into this season. Coming off a great year, but losing some key guys. Oladipo going early in the draft, top pick. Cody Zeller going early in the draft, a top pick. You know, we could have all those guys back, and we could be pushing at IU for a national championship. And I use the term we because I love the Hoosiers. But so much depends on how he's grown up, what his maturity level is. I think he's a great young man. I think he's a strong competitor. When he gets on the court, you can tell that he's focused and he's busting it. But you have to evolve as a player. And Will Sheehy has to go from one of the position players, one of the top seven, to one of the leaders. Because Yogi's still a young player. He's going to have to be a leader, but Will has to change his mentality. I believe that every time a player goes on the court, especially a Will Sheehy type, they need to be looking to score. But, folks, there's a difference between looking to score and looking to shoot. And Will Sheehy, in order to really help this Indiana team, his mentality has to be, we're looking to score. I may be shooting the shot, but I'm probably looking to distribute or find the open man. The fact that he is an offensive weapon, a scoring threat, gives him a great opportunity to find other people to score and really help this team expand, broaden, and become stronger on the offensive end. Defensively, he's going to have to buckle down a little bit more. He's not the quickest player. So technique, understanding where he needs to be on the floor, that can make up a lot for your speed or your quickness if you're in the right position. And then you got to help. And that's being a teammate. You got to be in a position to help. But I think Will Sheehy, in order to bring his best to this team the way he needs to, he's going to have to look to be a scoring threat, which means not only shooting but passing to people to score and not just a shooting threat. Because I think most people will tell you, and I would be one of them, it looks like he's looking to shoot more than he's looking to help the team score.
Okay, next, I'll get in trouble if I don't ask this question. It's from, I wasn't supposed to use his last name, but it's from Reese Milligan in Jasper. Oops, I used his last name. He wants to get into coaching when he gets out of school. What did you do to get a head coaching job at a young age?
Well, first of all, Reese, go be a doctor or run a huge company. Let your dad and mom go into retirement early. Coaching's great. It's great. And I'll do it again, hopefully, at some point. But what I would tell any young person who wants to get into coaching, get out there and coach. Get out there and teach. And you can say, well, he's only in 7th, 8th grade or in high school. Doesn't matter. CYO teams, youth teams, work camps. When your high school coach is having camps for younger kids, volunteer to coach. Be a coach on the floor in practice, teaching the other players how to run drills, seeing the nuances. Don't just look at pass A to the B to shot. Look at positioning, where you go and those types of things. The other thing is when you get into college, start if you're not playing as an athlete, work camps. I started working camps. I was coaching my first team when I was a 5th or 6th grader. It didn't matter whether it was baseball or basketball. I was coaching it. I was working in camps in high school. I was working camps around the country in college. Keep putting yourself in a position to learn and to teach. Learn and to teach. Coaching in a game is totally different than coaching on the floor in practice, individual workouts. The coaching in the game will come, but you got to learn how to teach, motivate, find a way to get guys to give or girls to give their best, and that comes in individual workouts and in practices, and that comes from learning. You need to be a sponge and learn and then be able to squeeze that sponge to get that knowledge out. That's a great analogy. Be a sponge and suck it in and be able to squeeze it out, and that's what it takes. You got to start coaching as soon as possible.
Okay, Coach, I'm going to ask you two questions now because I've got to go get our special guest, Matt Mock, on the line. The first question, I'll ask you both of them, and you can answer them, okay? First one is, with Jasper playing in the state finals, can you give us some the person has been thinking of Ed Yarbrough quite a bit. He wants to know about what you remember most about Ed Yarbrough, head coach Scott's father who passed away, great guy. And then also, second question is from John in Jasper. Coach, do you agree with Donnie Baseball that the Cardinals use a double standard when complaining about celebrations in the heat of the game?
Oh, wow, two good questions. First of all, on Ed Yarbrough, first of all, he left us way too soon. He was my high school coach as a freshman coach. Also had experiences with him in the classroom. When I came into coaching, I went to Coach Yarbrough to ask him questions and get his input. When I went back to Jasper to coach, often spent time with him just sitting, not just talking about coaching, but talking about teaching. He was an excellent teacher. You know, a lot of times you'll be a coach and you just show up for practice and games. You're late to class. You're not doing anything in class but showing film or something. I always had good coaches that were good teachers, and Ed Yarbrough was just one of the very best. He was an excellent teacher. He took great pride in the classroom, as well as whether he was coaching tennis, track, football, basketball. He was never scared to try. One of the great things I can say about Coach Yarbrough, he was never scared to try anything. He never used the excuse, well, I don't know enough about it. He went out and learned it. He went out and talked to coaches who had done well with that particular sport. He read the books. He looked at the films. He learned what he was going to coach, and every year he became better at that. But probably the biggest compliment I could give Coach Yarbrough, again, passed way too soon, he had a short memory. If he had a situation with a player or a student, he didn't hold that against them. If you debated him, if you had a tough day at practice, if you didn't do what you needed to do, or you got into a discussion with him, I don't want to say argument because it was never an argument, where maybe you disagreed with him, He had a very short memory. He never held it against him. And, you know, no matter what players think, most good coaches have short memories. And I know I probably have some former players out there that thought that I was holding things against him, but I never did. I always went home, and I blew it off, and I went back to saying, hey, if you're competing as a player, you're going to have tough days. You're competing as an athlete, or you're trying your best in a class, you're going to have a day where maybe you lose your temper, you're tired. But Coach Yarbrough was great about that. And so going back to what Reese asked about coaching, if I was a young coach, I'd worry about having a short memory, not holding things against players, understanding they're human and they make mistakes and they have bad days. And I thought Coach Yarbrough was great about that. Again, we lost him way too soon. And another thing Coach did, and I said it a little bit earlier, but I want to emphasize it to anybody who's coaching out there, be a sponge. Learn from people. Don't think you know too much. You know, you can always come back and say, well, I would do this. Well, I would do that. Don't. Listen. Learn. Incorporate. Take what you think will work. Try it. If it doesn't work, get rid of it. But Coach was good about that and miss him a lot. Donnie Baseball, I really don't know what I would say about that. I think every team is going to say there's double standards going on. I thought there was a double standard in St. Louis when Tony La Russa was there. I thought there was a double standard when Mark McGwire was the hitting coach. I just think there's a double standard throughout baseball. I think baseball is the most tradition-rich sport we have, professional sport we have, and it's a constant contradiction. We expect Pete Rose not to do this, so he's out of baseball forever, but we have guys that absolutely did things illegal that are still in baseball, that are still getting to play, that still get to manage, that still get to coach. I think baseball is double standards all the way around. Great game, great tradition, great history, just so many good classic things. I grew up going to the library and reading about Lou Gehrig and Mickey Mantle and Mel Ott and all those early players and the great stories that were written about them. And then I've grown up and followed baseball, obviously, with Scott Rolen, who played. But I see so much of a double standard in baseball from Bud Selig on down. So if Donnie Baseball thinks there's a little double standard, he's probably right. And if Donnie usually wouldn't say anything, but that's probably just fueling the fire for a big game six in St. Louis. So hope that at least comes close to answering your question. I know I get on a little bit of a soapbox, but just a lot of double standards in baseball. I think it's just the way it is. It's part of what makes the game great and part of what makes it disappointing, but we all seem to keep coming back. Joe, are we back?
Yes, I am.
Do we have our treasured guest
yes,
with us?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
That's awesome. Let's go to break real quick. Let's go to break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with – there's three very famous championship quarterbacks in the Denver area. John Elway, obviously Peyton Manning, and our next guest, Matt Mauch. When we come back, we'll be talking with Matt Mauch. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams. Natural-looking fillings. Crowns. Bridges and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care. Creating beautiful smiles.
Foul! No, two fouls. Foul? I didn't touch anybody.
Look, Jackie, people can't just go flying in the air like that. Oh, please, my mom wouldn't cheat in my dreams.
What? She's an angel. Heaven wants us to win this game. I'll burn your house.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Third down and 9. Henderson in motion, low snap, ball controls it, rolls out, puts it up. Clayton in motion. Moss rolls out, looks deep, fires it as he is hit. He's got Stella three. LSU.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and we are joined by Jasper great, LSU great, national champion great, Matt Mock. Matt, first question I've got to ask you is, how influential was your sixth grade basketball coach in your success as a LSU national championship quarterback?
You know, I think my sixth grade basketball coach and then my high school basketball coach could take all the credit for any success I've had, honestly.
Well, we will. We'll take it. We'll take it for sure. So,
Joe, I will take none, because I know that this young man, and he's still young because he's younger than me, Matt Mock, a pleasure to have you on the show. I call you the cerebral player. You're always analyzing, always thinking, and if I'm one of your patients getting ready to get into that chair, I'm happy that I've got a cerebral guy working on my mouth going through this. So, Matt, how you doing?
Doing great. Everything is life is good. I've got no complaints. Feel like I've been blessed over and over again, so life's good.
Well, you got a beautiful wife and Jill, and you've got a growing family, and you're in the Denver area. And I started out saying we've got three championship quarterbacks, John Elway in that Denver area, Peyton Manning, and most important for us today, Matt Mock. And Matt, we don't have a lot of time with you, and I'm disappointed in that because there's just so much to talk about, but we'll try to bring you back again. You know, people may not understand the odyssey that you took to being the LSU National Championship quarterback 2003 with Nick Saban as your head coach. You didn't leave high school to go play football.
I did not. So, yeah, I would say my path is probably not the traditional one, but it's worked out pretty well for me. So, yeah, playing baseball first was definitely, you know, a childhood dream, but probably, I mean, if I was honest with myself, baseball was probably, you know, second or third best sport. So, you know, it was a great experience. I think I grew up really quickly and just really was able to find out what I wanted to focus on in life. So I wouldn't do anything different, but yeah, definitely not the traditional path that most, you know, people that have had success with football normally take.
You know, Matt, a lot of times I get asked if I've talked to you, and I said, oh, it's been a while since we've communicated, either Facebook or whatever it might have been. But one of the questions I always get, and I got this question texted me to me today, was, can you ask Matt what it was like to play for Coach Saban?
Yeah. You know, X's and O's, he's by far the best college coach there is, maybe the best college coach of all time. And getting his team prepared. I think nobody on the team ever felt like going into a game, gosh, you know, I wish I would have done this or I wish I would have done that. I mean, we always knew that we were, you know, way more prepared than the other team. And I think the other great thing he did was we felt like we worked harder than anyone else. I mean, our off-season conditioning program was pretty excruciating, but you know, while you're going through it, obviously you don't appreciate it. But looking back on it, I think, you know, it just helps with the mental toughness, and you know, it just kind of gives you a feeling of invincibility. You know that you can do anything. So from a coaching standpoint, fantastic. From a personal standpoint, he's kind of, you know, what you get on camera is kind of what you get in the locker room too. He's not real warm and fuzzy.
You know, Matt, it's interesting, so our listeners kind of understand your odyssey. You came out of high school, You're just an outstanding player in everything you did, an outstanding student. Guys, listeners, this guy's smart. I mean, he's a really, when I say cerebral, I mean that. He's not a stick in the mud. He's a good guy, but he's smart. He thinks things through. And that was the great thing, having you in practice while you played basketball. You didn't challenge, but you asked questions. Why are we doing this? What do you think we're going to get out of this? And I always thought that was great. When we need to get through it real quick, I didn't, but always thinking, well, he's trying to understand, and that's what you want your players. But you came out, you got drafted in Major League Baseball, but you were recruited by Coach Saban while he was at Michigan State, correct?
Yeah, I had signed at Michigan State to play baseball and football. So I was going to do both sports there. And then got drafted, did that for 3.5 years. But two of those years, I was actually in, or a year and a half, I was actually in Lansing, the minor league affiliate, the Lansing Lugnuts. So actually I went over and spoke with Coach Saban a few times, just because I kind of knew that, you know, I just, not only did I miss football, but, I mean, the thing I was worried about, I'd progressed actually fairly well in the minor league system, and eventually, you know, thought I probably would have eventually made it, but how long I would have stayed or anything like that, I don't know. I didn't want to be 30 years old and found out that, you know, I had a cup of coffee and I've got no college education and, you know, what do I do now, type of a thing. So I made the decision that, you know, not only do I want to play football, but I want to be able to go back to school.
You know, I think another thing that, in my opinion, that I look at that situation, I say, you know, Matt, he had to think a lot of you as a player and a person to give you that opportunity when he was at LSU to come in and have an opportunity to be the quarterback there. And you had to earn your way. I want people to understand, you know, Matt was given that opportunity to come in, but he had to earn his way and move himself up. He wasn't brought in and say, you're going to be the starter next week. But for Coach Saban to think that highly of you, and also, Matt, and I'm not trying to be patronizing here, but what we talk about to our listeners a lot and to the young people that listen, you know, have the courage to take a chance. Have the courage to ask. Mm-hmm. If you have that desire, have the courage to walk in and say, I'd like to try this again, and not say, well, he may not want to. I didn't go the first time. It might be too late. I mean, I see a combination of a young man in yourself that had confidence and courage enough to say, some people might say, well, he's just dumb enough to do it. No, he was smart enough to go find out if he had another opportunity. And two, Coach Saban had to think a lot of you as a player and a person to give you that opportunity.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think a point you made, I firmly believe, is that, you know, life is all about, you know, trying to seize the opportunity. You know, some people call it luck, but I'm a big believer in the more I prepare, the luckier I get, that type of a thing. So I think for me, it's always been, you know, if there's something I want, I'm not afraid to go and ask for it. And not in a rude way, but I think, you know, for me, it was kind of having a backup plan. You know, I knew I wasn't all that happy with baseball. And, you know, I just basically cold called Coach Saban and said, hey, listen, I'm still thinking about football. What do you think about that? And he was very welcoming to me to be able to come back anytime I wanted. But, you know, like you said, you know, when you take 3.5 years off from throwing a football, when I got to LSU, it wasn't just, oh, you know, Matt's a quarterback. We're going to groom him for the job. I mean, there was a lot of times where, you know, Saban even came to me one time and asked me to move to safety during my freshman year. And I'd said, you know, just give me another chance at quarterback. We'll see how it turns out. And, you know, a lot of hard work and, you know, a lot of dedication, and things worked out well.
Yeah, and you know, I know that part of Matt Mock. No, let me keep trying this. Let me keep battling it.
Oh.
And I think that people need to, if they go back and look at your time at LSU, of course you win the national championship, but you had an injury after you got going. You had an injury,
mm-hmm.
And you lost out on your opportunity in the earlier time to be the starting quarterback. You had to come back and beat people out. It really was. A career that I look at and probably have more respect watching you at that time than at any other point in your life. One, having the courage to go ask for that opportunity to see if there was another chance. Two, fighting through adversity when everybody else said, oh, he's not going to make it, and then rising to the level, you know, luck, blessed, effort, whatever it might be, you find your way playing for a national championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think a lot of that is, you know, where you come from. You know, I think at Jasper, I mean, I was, you know, very fortunate. I had you as a coach, I had Terry Gilbert and Jerry Brewer, but Tony Ahrens was a huge, huge part of that program, even when I was there. So I feel like, you know, we're very lucky in a smaller community to be able to have a lot of people that that instill good values and good work ethic in our kids.
You know, Matt, as you look back, and I know you don't like to look back, you like to keep looking forward, what's the one thing, you won a national championship, you were part of a great team, great teams, with a great coach, but when you look back, what's the one thing that you took out of your time at LSU?
I think that the thing I'm most proud of is what we were able to do for the program. You know, people don't realize when Coach Saban got there, it was my first year there. I mean, they'd come off back-to-back losing seasons. I mean, it was a mess. I mean, there was just not that they weren't bad players, but there weren't a lot of real good people that were on that team. And for us, I think it was the year before we got there, we were 3-9, and to think in 4 years we ended up winning a national championship, and the continued success that LSU has had, I think that's probably the thing myself and, you know, we just had a 10-year reunion this past weekend for the national championship team, and all the guys that were down there, we kind of all talked about the same thing, how proud we are of how the program has kept up.
You know, the other thing that's important for people to know, you are now Dr. Matt Mock, a dentist in the Denver area. Matt, I got to talk about a dark – I mean, you live in the Aurora or practice in the Aurora area.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, what a sad situation happened there with the shootings and being
yeah.
in that city. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about how things have healed up to this point?
Yeah, you know, I think the community – Aurora is a huge area, but the community kind of has come together in that area and really tried to, not that you forget, but, you know, try to remember, and has done a great job of being able to move on. I think the one thing from that everyone says is, you know, when someone does a heinous act like that, that, you know, you want to remember, but you don't want to, it's kind of that you're always talking about them and you don't want them to have any bit of remembrance. So you want to remember the people that had passed, but you also want to be careful that you're not almost kind of martyrizing him in what he did. So, but I think they've done a great job of finding that balance.
Right now, a dentist in the Denver area, you also, I think, work as the team dentist for the Broncos.
We do, yeah. So actually, when I was playing with the Broncos, I was a patient at this practice, and it just happened to work out that I was able to come on and be a part of the practice.
We've got a big game in Indy, and I know we got to let you go. Peyton Manning and the Broncos coming in. Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, throwing some things out there. What's it been like with the Denver media with Peyton going back to Indianapolis?
It was big before he made the comments, but since he's made the comments, that's pretty much all you hear about. So yeah, it seemed, I don't know Jim Irsay at all, but it sounds like, you know, if someone needs to take his phone away from him, he doesn't need to be on Twitter or doing many interviews.
Matt, I know you've got a patient waiting. I sure wish we could talk a little bit longer. So many things that I'd like to reminisce with you about, and also just talk about how you're doing in your life right now. Again, beautiful wife, Jill, great growing family. Before we leave, I do want to say one thing. While you're on, you were a multi-sport athlete in high school. You go into pro baseball, you give it a try, then you go to college. You talked about conditioning, and how hard it was with Coach Saban. And, you know, one of the things that I always battled with, and you were always in the football end, so you never got a lot of the basketball conditioning until you got there. But I get a lot of grief from players, and they'd say, oh, you know, why we got to do this? Are you mad at us? And I can just say it to this day, and I tell my youngest son, Scott, who's a seventh grader now, and my son, Josh, who's going to be helping with the varsity team at Bar Eve, conditioning is not about getting back at your players. It's about getting them to a level mentally as well as physically that's going to give them the edge when it's late in the game or overtime or when things get the toughest.
I totally agree with you. I mean, I think, again, it's when you're in the situation, it's hard to realize that. But I think that, you know, for me personally, looking back, I think what it does for you mentally is well worth you know, what feels like cruelty going through it.
Oh, Matt, great to talk to you. I wish we had more time. Go back and take care of those people. They don't need any pain over the weekend.
Yeah, we won't. We'll make it a pain-free dentistry. That's what we do. Okay. great talking to you guys, and hopefully we'll do it again.
All right, hope we will. Matt Mock, again, national championship quarterback for LSU. We're going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, Joe will be talking with Kurt Gooksell, and they'll be talking about the Southridge Raider-Gibson Southern matchup. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Coach, I'll tell you what, I ran out of breaks, but I had that short people music I wanted to play, so I went ahead and played it. We're joined by the rant with Kurt Gooksell. Gook, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on, guys?
Well, short people, there's no shortness in stature for our Kurt Gooksell. And Kurt, I'm just going to let you run with this. We don't have much time left. I know you got a busy day. We got a big game in the PAC. And you'll probably be announced. Tell us what's going on, what's it look like, and if you dare to pick a winner.
Well, first of all, I don't know how I'm going to succeed Matt Mock as your guest. What a wonderful guy. He's unbelievable. He's one of my favorites, and not just because of all the things he did, but I mean, they don't get any better than him. Unbelievable. But back to the football tonight, Southridge, Gibson Southern for the Pocket Athletic Conference Championship. Gibson undefeated, Southridge one loss. That came to Jasper in week two. And tonight, I mean, I can honestly tell you, and this doesn't happen very often in high school football, especially around here, I'm going to go to the field tonight not knowing what's going to happen. Normally through the first 8 weeks, you have a pretty good idea what's going to happen, or any random high school football game. But tonight, Coach Joe, I do not know what's going to happen in this game because they're two good teams, two high-scoring offenses, two good defenses. One team could blow each other out or vice versa. It could be a double overtime game or vice versa or whatever you want to call it. So, again, I'm not dancing around your question like I got accused earlier in the season. I'm telling you the truth. It's going to be great. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, to set this all up, and how many times it happened in a week 9 or a 16 or whatever schedule you play in sports that everything in the league situation comes down to this. And more importantly, this is a great springboard for the tournament because either way, you win this game, you lose this game, these teams got higher things that they want to accomplish, so they're going to have to move on. But as a high school kid, as a fan, as a broadcaster, it's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, this has got playoff feeling all the way around it. Obviously, conference implications. Like you said, high-scoring offense. Here's the key. Just how good is Southridge's defense, Kurt? I think that's going to be critical because I think Gibson Southern has played a lot of teams that defensively just can't hold serve with them. And just how good is this Southridge defense coming into tonight's game?
It's a very good defense. They've got big linemen. They've got quick linemen. They've got strong linemen. They've got a great linebacking core. Their defensive backs in a high school situation, perhaps they don't face a throwing team like Gibson Southern every week. So that's going to be key to see how they put up with that. But that's going to be key that the guys up front get after Sellers, or the linebackers chase the quarterback down, or don't let the receivers off the line of scrimmage. So and playing defensive back is the toughest thing to do as well in sports, because you're out there on that island, but a lot goes into it to make those guys look good or make those guys look bad. So I think that's one of the keys I'm going to watch, to see how the Raiders defensively deal with a passing attack, because they've been staunch against the run. Not that they couldn't be good against the pass, they just have not faced the team that's going to get that ball out there, you know, one or two, three-step drops and get rid of it, because that's what Gibson Southern does.
You know, another thing, Kurt, I don't know how much tape you've been able to watch, or if coaches have given you some access to watching some tape on Gibson Southern. Southridge just has a stable, good running backs, and they've got a good line. And if you've been able to, can you assess Gibson Southern defensively at the line? Because we know that if that offensive line can open a hole, those Southridge runners, they're going to get out and go. They can scat on down the field.
Well, Gibson Southern's got a big defensive line as well. But, again, I don't know if they've dealt with some of the rushing attacks that Southridge is going to bring at them with Connor Craig and the guys that Southridge has up front. But I'm sure they're athletic. I'm sure they're big. But I think that's the concern if we were to talk to Nick Hart and Coach Boston, those guys at Gibson today. I think the question they want answered, can we stop Southridge running the football against us? Because I don't care if it's been Jasper or Tell City or anybody, they've had trouble with Southridge's ground game.
You know, as you look at this game, a lot of fans might be sitting out there, or listeners, people who just follow sports, they might say, well, is this game too big? Is this a bad game to have before you go into the tournament? We've seen this game come around for the last couple years. It's had implications. It's been a big game, and it hasn't seemed to be a deterrent to these teams going into tournament play.
I think it's a great tune-up, because how many times have you seen teams play, even in basketball, those last games of the regular season, and you catch that eye on the term a little bit, because the game doesn't mean very much. As a coach, it does, and if you had a right mindset, it would mean that it's going to vaunt you into the tournament. But a lot of times they don't are not well played, or they're not a lot of focus on them. But I think because of what's on the line, I think a lot of focus will be put on this game. And as a coach, as a player, I would think it would be great to head into a tournament off this ball game. And I think Southridge has used this game to vault them into some great tournament success, because they know they have to play in this game, and they know they'll have to play in the weeks ahead.
Well, I agree with you, and I think from a coaching perspective, that's how I would look at it. I would say, you know, this game isn't taking place 2 weeks earlier where our kids get to sit around and rest on their laurels a little bit. They have to, no matter what happens, win or lose, where the emotion is, they got to come back, and they got a week to prepare to get into that tournament and go. So I think it does help emotionally, mentally keep this game in perspective, because you got the tournament coming right at you.
And there's no doubt in Southridge, a lot of people, they're going with Gibson Southern, and I can understand they've seen a lot of the Titans. And like I said, I don't know what's going to happen. But down through the years, in the last 15 years, Southridge is 13-2 in this game. And Gibson has had some good teams. Southridge has some good teams. So, I don't blame anybody on how they pick this game, because it should be great.
Yeah, I just, for me, it just comes down to the defenses. And just for me, if Southridge can open some holes with that offensive line on Gibson Southern's defense, I think they'll have trouble with those running backs. Hey, we got about a minute and a half. Joe, you can jump in. You got anything to add with Kurt? I know Condoleezza Rice would probably be able to pick this for us. You know, Kurt, I'm not against the females on these playoff committees. I just think there are other females out there that bring more to the table, except for the political connections, than Condoleezza Rice.
Well, there's a lot of, you know, female athletic directors or administrators that are close to programs, but I don't have a problem with this. I mean, those people on that committee aren't deciding X's and O's. They're not drawing up X's and O's. There's a lot of men on that panel, like the Archie Mannings, that have no – you know, they've lost touch with a lot of things in college football as well. But she's up there because she's done a lot of things, whether it be negotiating, whether it be looking at things, whether it be leading. And I think that's where she's coming from there. But like her, there are a lot of other people, like you said, that could have stepped in there as well that have more of a pulse on athletics. But, you know, it's college football, and you never know what's going to happen.
Well, if she's a great negotiator, she should have been up working this budget thing out. Kurt?
Right.
Oh, take us away, Joe.
Okay, I've got to say one thing real quick before we end the show. I've got a lot of pressure for next week because we had a heck of a list this week, and we're going to have to put our brains together and come up with a guest list to try to match this week's because it was phenomenal. So for Kurt Guxel and for the Coach K. Ken Schulteis, I'm Joe Milligan, and we will see you next week.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.